Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, the Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. If you're enjoying the program here on a Saturday morning, we'll use the Odyssey app. Download it today for free and just search 910 The Fan or AWOD Radio to hear me Monday through Friday live and local in Richmond from 12 to 3 p.m. And we talk all things Commanders every day at 1 p.m. And we're going to continue their Commanders conversation right now. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. How do you view this game against the Arizona Cardinals? I will say, I said this Friday on my show, and I feel the same way about it today, that the Commanders are playing with house money. Year after year after year after year, I've seen this team do it where they go on a road trip where one of them is a primetime game and you have a short week game. I talk about it last year, right? You lose to the Eagles in overtime 31-34, and then that turns into two losses because you were blown out Thursday Night Football by the Bears, right? And so it's so difficult. Every team in the NFL deals with it. It's not fair, right? The Cardinals got an extra day to prepare for this game, but the Commanders are coming off of a win, right? So that's how huge this is, right? We're talking about the fact that the Commanders are coming off a win, so in my mind, they're playing with house money here in this game against the Arizona Cardinals. That's not how they're thinking in the locker room. But if you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. I feel like this team is getting better each week, a little bit each week, and they're building a culture. If you want to chime in, or you can give me your thoughts, at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fan. Let's hear from Cliff Kingsbury. What's next for Jaden Daniels and the offense?
Yeah, we've just talked about competitive stamina in this league and the ability to do it over and over again, not just on Sundays or Monday night, but every day of practice and the way you approach the game. And he takes a lot of pride in it. He puts in the work. I've told you all along, each and every day, he's there early and stays late and works really hard at it. So we're going to have our ups and downs and continue to grow, but he's working to be great, and that's all you can ask for.
I feel like you can see that when you watch Jaden play. He rarely makes the same mistake twice, right? So I know everybody's probably talked about it. It was third down, and the Bengals blitzed, and he missed Terry McLaurin out of bounds. He faded away on the throw. I'm not talking about the game-winning play. I'm talking about the possession right before that. And the Commanders kicked a field goal, right? Then, on the final possession, they flipped the play. The Bengals all out blitzed again. But this time, he hits Jaden perfectly in stride there, right in the basket for the game-winning throw. It's like he corrected the mistake he made earlier in the game there. You got to love that from your starting quarterback. Let's go out to the phone lines. We've got Lou in D.C. What's up, Lou?
Hey, what? Long time no hear, man. What's going on? How you been? Everything good?
I'm good, man. It's been a while, dude. And now the Commanders are winning games.
I know, man. It feels good, man. Like you said, man, they playing on the house money, and that's how I'm looking at this season. You know, I'm going to be, like, you know, kind of, like, you know, a lot of some of the fans have been criticizing about these coaches. You know, I get it. We don't have, you know, the talent yet. So that's what I'm kind of like. I'm trying to calm the people down a little bit, kind of like wait till next season. Once, you know, they get a year or two together and then get the roster they want. And then, you know, you could criticize them not making, you know, playoff and things like that. But as far as this season goes, I'm looking at it. We're playing on the house money. You know, anything goes on Sunday. You know, I just want to see if they grow from Monday night. I want to see if they could repeat what they did on Monday. Not repeat, but I just want to see them be competitive. You know, yeah. I want to see that how you win a big game and you still think about that big game from a week ago. I don't want that kind of a mentality. I want to see the mentality of, look, I'm hungry, and I think that's what Jaden is. I think he's not thinking about Monday night. I hope the whole team is. And I just want to see the growth, man. I just want to see them do it week after week, and then we could jump on it and say, look, man, they back, and we want to, you know, root for these guys. And that's how I feel about it. So other than that, man, as far as the defensive side goes, man, not having Montez and Chase, you know, just it shows, man. You can't tell me, you know, I don't know none of these two dudes that's playing the defensive end. I really don't know, and that's the reason why you see the production from Payne and Allen has dropped, because they're getting a lot of double team, and if you double teaming them too, and you're not going to get nothing pressure from the defensive end, and it's showing on the defensive back. I mean, they can't, you know, I mean, you know, you can't cover. I mean, I don't know how much you're allowed to cover, but you can't cover as much as, I don't know, man. But I just think that they don't have enough pressure from that defensive side. I mean, the defensive inside of the ball.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can make a move, you know, get a like a Khalil Mack. I said that to Chris yesterday. So I think they could get somebody like that for a year of service and make a run at the postseason. If they win tomorrow, which I really think they do, they could find a way to win that game because it's just Kyle. I mean, if you could stop him, I don't think they have any other weapons. So him and 18. So
yeah,
that's how I'm looking at him.
Well, the defense has got to get a stop, Lou. The defense has got to get a stop. We appreciate you chiming in. I do feel like with Jaden Daniels, he is the future, but he's also the present. He gives us a chance to win every single week with the way he's playing right now. Let's go to Kelly in Hyattsville. What's up, Kelly?
Hey, Wad. Hey, bring it as always, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Hey, no problem, man. You got a great show. The thing that's impressive is it speaks to your organization, is the coaching staff and how they brought Jaden along.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about where he was game one, and each week, almost every half, you see he iterates and levels his game up. And so Monday night was a culmination of him making so many good in-game adjustments. You know, the two incompletions he had were actually touchdown passes.
Right,
and
right.
And he recalibrated that third time. He was able to recalibrate and just throw an absolute dime of a pass because he made an adjustment. And it's just exciting to see the team get their identity over these first four games and then see what they'll do this middle part of the season. The season really doesn't start until we start playing NFC East games, you know. And you see what you are against Dallas and Philly. But it's neat to see Jaden ascending and bringing everybody else with him.
Yeah, good call. He made some great points there. The coaching staff deserves a ton of credit, especially when you look at the other rookies, like Bo Nix and Caleb Williams. I mean, you circle Caleb. Chicago's just not handled their rookie quarterback well. But Washington has been great with the way they've handled Jaden. You look at his stats, they have steadily improved in terms of passing yards. And his rushing yards have kind of gone down. That's great, right? We want him to stay more in the pocket, but he can still use his legs when he needs to. He can break someone's ankles, right, with that Euro step to pick up the first down. So I love what I've seen so far. It does feel like we're creating chemistry offensively. We're improving. And when you're improving, you can move further down the playbook. And I'm excited to see if that's what Kliff does on Sunday, right? The way the offense is playing, I think you can open up the offense even more. They've slowly brought Jaden along, and he's taken it all in really well, right? And it just seems like, hey, they've got a good group of talented guys who respect each other and want to play hard for the coaching staff and their teammates. Culture change. That's what I call it, right? We haven't had that in a long time. There's, like, good vibes. There's trust, right? Trust, trust, trust. You can point to the Terry play. That's trust right there. He called it. There's deep trust already. Because Kliff Kingsbury is a good offensive mind, right? He couldn't handle the head coaching job in Arizona. It sucks, right? He tried. It was too much. But right now, he's showing that he can still run an offense. Dan Quinn taking things off of his plate. Dan Quinn takes the defensive side of the ball personally. And I want to talk about that for a second. I really think it is eating Dan Quinn alive. I don't think he can sleep at night with the way the defense is playing, right? Because that's what he was brought in for, right? I think it's killing him right now. I think he's staying up late, trying to scheme ways to improve them. I don't think the talent level's getting better. He's playing with what he was given. And unfortunately, that's like Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice, right? But they're starting to play faster. It's not going to look good after the Bengals put up 33 points, and they're obviously not on the same page, all 11 guys, right? It does look broken at times, but I think Dan Quinn staying up all night, I think that he will improve this defense eventually throughout this season. I know that that's what's driving him crazy, because that's what his coaching style is. He's so proud of Kliff Kingsbury. He's happy for Jaden. He's saying all the right things, but it's eating him up that the defense hasn't been able to get stops. And I think they could do that against James Conner and the Arizona Cardinals. He's 29 in the two losses this season. He has not been able to run the ball. They need him to run so that Kyler can play action off of that. With the offense for Washington, can we get more Noah Brown on Sunday? How about some Ben Sennett? He was a big blocker on Monday Night Football. Maybe get him the ball in space and see how explosive he can be. The Commanders are going to need unsung heroes X-factors we didn't see coming to replace Austin Eckler's production. I think it could be Noah Brown, Luke McCaffrey, De'Ami Brown, right? It could be anybody. Maybe it's just more B-Rob, Brian Robinson Jr. Will they use Terry as a decoy, or will they continue to send him deep? Opportunities to win us the game here. I'm really excited to see what the offense is going to look like because it is steadily improving under Cliff Kingsbury. You've got to get, I think, three receivers involved, right? What does Jaden Daniels need to improve on? I think it is getting his receivers more involved. We saw that get better against the Bengals. Obviously, the deep shots to Terry, a couple connections there to Noah Brown, one to McCaffrey, right? Can he get all three of his top receivers 30 yards, right? McLaurin, McCaffrey, and Noah Brown. That would be Jaden keeping the steady improvement on the offensive side of the ball. But this is not a college offense the Commanders are running. They're just making things easy for Jaden, and for the most part, they've done a really good job staying ahead of the sticks, and that leads to the success they've had early this season. If you want to chime in, it is easy. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You can always tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 1067 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Get in right now because we've got Joe House from The Ringer coming up at 10:30. Rick Snyder, Sergeant Snyder in the AWOD Army at 11 a.m. He's columnist for 106.7 The Fan. Give out my keys to victory and pathway to success here for the Commanders. Before we go around the National Football League here with AWOD's picks, was pretty good last week with my picks. We'll get back to that later on in the show today. But phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. You can also tweet us your thoughts. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Want to go through some of these tweets here. Richard tweets me, AWOD, the Newton pick is still a bit confusing to me. We keep saying we're still a year or two away, but not addressing another cornerback is going to make it longer for our team to arrive. The Eagles addressed their secondary issues by drafting two, and we helped them. Look, they brought in Mike Sainer still. I actually think it shows you a lot of the confidence they have in him, that they gave him a chance to try on the outside against Jamar Chase. They're definitely desperate to help, get help at the secondary position in the outside corner slot there with Benjamin St. Juice struggling. Noah I struggling, Emmanuel Forbes struggling. They put Sanderson on the outside. He struggled as well. But the Newton pick makes sense to me because I kind of think the writing is on the wall for either, Jonathan Allen or Jerron Payne to be traded. I hope that doesn't happen because I want the defensive line to continue to be a big strength, but that's probably why Newton was picked, and he's starting to get a little bit more playing time. 12th Man tweets me, AWOD, there's a honeymoon period for owners, GM, and coach, but thankfully Peters and Quinn voluntarily proclaimed the team will be competitive this season, and I'm taking and running with that standard. I hope the team will be within 8 points deep in four quarters. There's certainly been a honeymoon period, but man, Cliff Kingsbury deserves a lot of credit for the way that he's handled Jaden Daniels, the way that he slowly increased the workload in terms of throwing it downfield and less runs. And I can't help it but compare it to what's going on with Chicago and Caleb Williams. Willis tweets me, AWOD, I would like to see them win. Eckler is out and a short week cross-country travel. Not impossible, but optimistic about this team. We'll wait and see about the approach to this game. Look, it's certainly a tough opportunity here to go to Arizona and get a win. I do love that they went straight from Cincinnati to Arizona, something that the previous ownership would not have done, right? That costs a lot of money to put 100 people and staff in a hotel room for 5 days before this game here, right? And so I think that's going to help the Commanders be able to play right away, right when the game starts. But so we'll see what happens. I'm going to pick my boys to win. I really am. We'll get the keys to victory later in the show today. Travis tweets me, AWOD, you know you're my guy, but I got to call you out. You spent 7 minutes talking about how scared of Arizona, but only talked about the positive Washington for 30 seconds. Embrace the greatness. So how about I do that right now, Travis? If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. We're talking about a Washington Commanders team whose offense has been historic level good in the last two games. The only team in the Super Bowl era to not have a turnover or punt in two straight games. Against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they moved the ball offensively, stuttered in the red zone, kicked a few field goals. Jaden wasn't able to find his receivers. They put up 20 points. That's decent, right? The next game against the Giants, the offense got going. Seven drives, seven field goals. I know a lot of people were upset about that, but I kept saying over and over again, seven drives for seven field goals is much, much better than seven drives with seven punts. They actually moved the football. They got across the 50-yard line. They got themselves into the red zone. They gave themselves a chance, and then they stubbed their toe with a bunch of penalties and flags that obviously they can make up for, right? And then against the Bengals, they were spectacular. It was drive after drive. I think Cliff Kingsbury deserves a lot of credit. I know me and part of the fan base were saying, we want Austin Ekeler in the opening drive because that dude shows up right away. And that's what they did. They had both the guys in the backfield, Ekeler and Robinson. It started with Ekeler for 8 yards, and then it was B-Rob, and then it was Jaden Daniels back to Ekeler, and then it was Jaden running it himself, and then finding Luke McCaffrey on that big 4th-and-2, and they go right down the field, and they get the touchdown. And then, yes, we're upset with the defense, but I think you've got to give the defense credit for the next three drives that the Cincinnati Bengals had. Missed field goal, field goal, field goal. We don't win the game if the defense doesn't do that. They bent but didn't break there in the first half, and they deserve credit for that. The offense was spectacular. 10 plays, 70 yards. 7 plays, 62 yards. 6 plays, 75 yards. We saw Jaden Daniels grow up in that first half there. We saw Cliff Kingsbury. We kind of saw exactly what his offense can be when it's clicking on full all cylinders. You run the ball for 108 yards. You throw the ball for 254 yards. And so impressive, you finally get your number one wide receiver involved in Terry McLaurin. And you know what? He looked like a number one wide receiver, right? Max, what was our caller's name? Aaron? Where's Aaron in Suitland right now who called in and said, Terry McLaurin's not a number one? Phone lines are open, buddy. He looked like a number one on Monday night. He looked like a stud. He looked like a star that you throw him the ball, he's going to go win you a football game, right? Terry McLaurin went to the coaches and said, trust me, I'll get open. Guy didn't do press coverage. He hit him with a stutter move and then made the incredible catch. Another thing about that catch that I don't think is getting enough love is that he went to the ground. That's an NFL IQ that's unbelievable in Terry McLaurin to not think about getting 2 feet in, to think one knee is better than 2 feet. And I'm not sure I'm going to have room for 2 feet, but I can certainly catch the ball and get immediately down and get my knee on the ground in the end zone so that the catch stands. Just an unbelievable offensive performance there from the Washington Commanders. Special teams as well was decent. Of course, Eckler's big kickoff return to start the second half, 62-yard return, helped Washington keep the momentum, but they kept their foot on the gas and did not take it off of it for the entire four quarters there against the Bengals. That's what it took to get the win. It's going to take another four-quarter performance and effort to beat the Arizona Cardinals on the road. I like my team's chances. They've just got to show up. They've got to win the turnover battle. There's a few little things they've got to clean up defensively. Like if you get Kyler Murray, you cannot let him escape. You cannot have him, you know, where you grab him with one arm and then he escapes an arm tackle there. Those kind of plays cannot happen. You got to limit the explosive plays for the Arizona Cardinals. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the Odyssey app. So I appreciate everybody listening to the show today. Still got an hour and a half to break down the NFL and continue our Commanders-Cardinals conversation. Before we hand it off to Super Bowl champion and legend Doc Walker. So we got Joe House from D.C. from the Ringer Sports Network podcast. He'll join us at 10:30. Sergeant Snyder in the AWOD Army, Rick Snyder, columnist for 106.7 The Fan at 11 a.m. My keys to victory, pathway to success, and then AWOD's picks, all the best NFL games going on Sunday. We also have two Monday night games again. Real quick, I'll say, love the fact the Bills blew off the Jags, so around the country, everyone tuned in to the Commanders, right? Because, Max, you got to give me credit. I called that, right? I said, This is disrespectful to put the Washington Commanders on a Monday night where there's two games. Everybody should be watching Jayden Daniels. Well, eventually, they all did because how bad Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence were. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, the Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. And always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Phone lines are open throughout the show. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take more of your phone calls later. But right now, joining us on the BetQL guest hotline, don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. They analyze every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. You can get 3 days of free access by downloading the app today. It is Joe House on the BetQL guest hotline. What's up, House?
Let's go, AY. We got one more day to celebrate that Monday night win. Super Bowl.
Hang the banner.
Is waiting for us.
NFC East Week 3 division champs, the Washington Commanders.
We did it.
Do you remember the last time you felt that good after a Monday night game? I kept pointing back to the Santana Moss game.
Wow. That was with Brunell, who threw two touchdown passes in the last 3 minutes, game?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Probably, right? I mean, and that team really wasn't one that you would say, oh, there is a very high ceiling for that team. This one, still very exciting.
Absolutely. So we'll focus in on Jayden in a second here, but how do you feel about his weapons that he's got now? Noah Brown starting to show up. You had Luke McCaffrey make a big play on a fourth down. We know what Terry McLaurin could do. It was so good to see him kind of shut up the haters, prove he is a number one wide receiver. Zach Ertz, we saw a little Ben Sennett there in the blocking game. What do you think of the talent around Jayden, the way they've played the first three games?
Well, it's been very commendable. I like very much what Kingsbury's doing in terms of keeping things simple, keeping things in front of Jayden, getting everybody involved, acclimating everybody, and each week you see a little bit more progress in terms of the offensive scheme. We're going to put that suite of weapons to the test this week because he's lost his safety blanket. With Eckler not playing, we're going to need all those guys, especially McCaffrey, especially Brown, especially Ertz, to catch, you know, some of those snaps, some of those targets that Eckler's not going to get.
No, it's so true. It's got to be next man up approach from the team. Everybody's got to step up and be an unsung hero here to help out the production that Austin Eckler brought to the table. What do you think is going through Cliff Kingsbury's mind as he prepares for this game tomorrow? I think everybody wants to make it a Cliff revenge game going back to Arizona. What do you think is actually going through his mind, though?
I think it's just how can I put Jayden Daniels in the very best position possible for this offense to keep clicking. I don't think he cares one bit about, you know, revenge or homecoming or any of that stuff. I think that's what we do. That's what we're here for, AWOD. I think he's focused on trying to not have to punt, which has been very successful through 3 weeks of the NFL season. But, I mean, I appreciate the storylines. I'm sure that he will give Kyler a big hug both before and after the game. But otherwise, I think what Cliff Kingsbury is doing is he's in the lab trying to keep Jayden Daniels upright and get those weapons into the game plan.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I hope that he did have some kind of conversations with Joe Witt and Dan Quinn. And what did Kyler struggle with when you were the head coach there, right? Because that's the kind of insight that he could provide to help the defense maybe get one stop, maybe force one punt over on the game tomorrow. I mean, do you feel like 3 games into the season, you've seen any improvement from the defense compared to last season?
I mean, no, but yeah. it matches the expectation. I didn't really have any high hopes. I mean, you know, the interior of the line is the strength. The defensive line is doing a decent job in terms of pass rush rate, right? They're in the top half, but they're not converting into the sacks. We're one of the four bottom teams in the entire league in terms of sacks. So we've got to, you know, I think Joe Witt talked about pushing up field fine, but we're pushing too far up, and then it leaves the the line of scrimmage open, and especially this is, we're going to get a real test of this.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray will have no problem avoiding some of them boys and getting downfield.
Yeah, it just feels like, you know, 10 guys are on the same page, one guy's been off, you know, every single drive, almost every play on the defensive side of the ball. But back to the positives, which are Jaden Daniels and his development. I mean, I just loved that he stood in the pocket there and found Jaden Daniels, took the big hit. I can't get over the play in which he scrambled to the right and then found Noah Brown. It was like for the first time we saw Jaden get out of the pocket but keep his eyes downfield. That's the maturation process that we want from him, right? He did that a ton in college. Get out of the pocket but keep your eyes downfield.
Great observation. That's absolutely part, I think, of what Kingsbury's trying to gently get him accustomed to, right? His eyes and what he sees on in these pro games is a little bit different in terms of speed and where people are going to be on the field. So if that part of the Daniels footprint continues to grow, if that's a continued growth area, you know, again, the most important thing is just keeping him upright. And so I hope we continue to see fewer and fewer rushes or when he does scramble, it's into safety. Just go down. There's no reason whatsoever to find yourself in contact. The contact in the pocket, though, you made the observation at the top. That is unbelievable, the poise and just standing in there and taking it and the comfort he has with his internal time clock. That's what triggered McLaurin on both of those deep catches. So it's wonderful to see.
Yeah. I mean, let's just touch on that for a second here. House, you've been watching this team for a long time. I've been watching this team for a long time. That play usually ends in the ball being 5 feet out of bounds and our receiver doesn't even have a shot, right? He gave him a chance to go get it.
That's true for, you know, about 90% of all quarterbacks, right? Like, that's part of why I think, you know, Jaden on that national stage, standing in there, taking it, and dropping it with that accuracy, that's the thing that I think caught the national media attention and all the accolades that he rightly received Tuesday morning and into Wednesday through the balance of the week. As like this guy has arrived and he's definitely put a stamp on himself as the class of that quarterback class that arrived with the draft in 2024.
What's the next step in his improvement and his development?
It's what we just said. It's that scrambling and keeping the eyes downfield and just continued, you know, finding safety wherever it may exist on the football field. But the eyes down the field is the key to me.
Joe House from The Ringer with us here on the BetQL Guest Hotline. Follow him on Twitter, House from D.C. The running game is a big part of the reason why Jaden's had success here. I go back to RG3. Alfred Morris's success certainly helped him out. You need that complimentary football. Good running game sets up a good passing game. So this week they'll be without Austin Ekeler. Assuming they're going to force feed Brian Robinson, do you think we get like some end arounds to Zacchaeus or Luke McCaffrey or some other things to kind of be an extension of the running game?
So we have to, right? Because the blueprint, we just watched it, for beating this Arizona team, Detroit won time of possession and they ran the ball 43 times. So that's the key for Washington. Can we replicate that? Is there a way to implement a ball control kind of offense? It is absolutely positively clear with this football team, the best defense is our offense. Keep the other team's offense off the football field, especially explosive Arizona. So, you know, healthy dose of Brian Robinson, I'm sure, whatever his rush props are in terms of number of carries, I'm going to do over for that because that's the only way for Washington to stay in this game. But to your point, there better be some, you know, off-platform, you know, unexpected end-around jet sweep kind of things as well, because you can't just let our offensive line has been, you know, much better than people forecasted, but just putting it in classic run spots is going to be tough.
Yeah. House, I said earlier that, you know, as bad as the defense has been, and it's been bad, I like the fact that we've got Dan Quinn, because I think he's staying up all night. I think it's destroying him that the defense is struggling this much. Like, he's proud of Jaden and happy for Cliff, But Dan Quinn personally is a defensive-minded guy. I think it's destroying him. And so I think he's staying up all night. I'm not sure it's going to be this week, but I think the defense will slowly improve.
I hope you're right. I mean, to me, it's just a personnel problem. I really wish we still had edge rushers. I don't mind Chase Young not being here, but, boy, we could use Montez Sweat right about now.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. House, appreciate the time, man. Will the Commanders get the win tomorrow?
I want to be realistic about it. It's a very tough spot, especially without Eckler. Short work week, on the road, two consecutive weeks. I just want us to be competitive and healthy. That's what I'm rooting for, A-Rod.
No, you're right about that. Let's keep it competitive. Thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it.
Always my pleasure. You call, I answer.
That's my guy, Joe House. House from D.C. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on D.C. Sports Radio 106.7, The Fan. We are simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go. With the free Odyssey app, we got the Super Bowl champ and legend, Doc Walker, coming up after me at 12 noon. Keep it locked to 106.7, The Fan, for all of the latest Commanders talk, and we're going to continue our Commanders conversation at 11 a.m., but right now we wanted to go around the National Football League and do a little AWOD's picks here on The Fan. And Max, I was pretty hot last week, so we're going to go back to it here, place a little bit of a wager. You can tell me whether you agree or disagree. We'll start with the Sunday slate, 1 p.m. on Fox. I do like the Saints here to bounce back. They're on the road in Atlanta. Atlanta's 1-2. They could be 0-3 in my mind. I don't think Kirk Cousins has been very good this year. Alvin Kamara has. The Saints' offense has been good when they've been able to give Derek Carr time in the pocket. I like the Saints here. Money line. That's my upset pick in the 1 o'clock.
I do like the Saints in the 1 o'clock slate. I think they're getting... I really don't know why that they're not the favorites this week. Especially coming after a late loss to the Eagles, who also I don't think are very good. But yeah, I'm very perplexed at this line.
Yeah, something doesn't smell right with that line. Chicago -3 at home hosting the Rams. I'll tell you, my pick in that one is the under 40.5. I do think it's going to be a low-scoring game. Injuries for the Rams, and the Bears' offense hasn't looked very good. Vikings-Packers is up there with one of the three-star games of the week, right? Packers at home, most likely no Jordan Love, unless you've heard something this morning, Max. I think it will be Malik Willis once again. Vikings undefeated. Sam Darnold, 8 touchdown passes in 3 games this season, 657 yards. I said in the offseason the Vikings were in a win-now mode, and they were going to look decent with McCarthy. Well, he got hurt. Sam Darnold stepped in. Aaron Jones deserves a lot of credit. This is the Aaron Jones revenge game. Didn't like the way the Packers handled him this offseason. They went out and got Josh Jacobs. I think he gets revenge. I'm going to take the Vikings to upset the Pack. Steelers, Colts, Steelers, that's my lock of the week. That's my survivor pool pick. The Steelers' defense is unbelievable. Anthony Richardson's got 6 interceptions. He's going to have a few more turnovers against the Steelers. Steelers get a road win. Moneyline Steelers is my lock of the week. Broncos, Jets, 1 o'clock here. I don't like the Jets spread -8.5 here. I do not like watching Broncos games at all. It's ugly. Sean Payton's kind of really annoying now as a head coach, and Bo Nix he's making some decent plays, but I think that was against a bad team last week there. Defensively, they just let him kind of run away, run around, run for a ton of first downs. I think the Jets get the win here at home, but I'm not touching that spread. Would you touch that spread, Max?
7.5 is a lot of points. Last week, I woke up Sunday morning and looked at the Bucs game. I was like, the Bucs have been playing great. Why wouldn't they cover that line? And then I was immediately shown why they wouldn't cover that line. So, yeah, I'm probably staying away from that one.
But I do think the Bucs are in a bounce-back spot at home. Now, they're facing the Eagles, and this is a playoff rematch here that the Bucs won. So you know the Eagles are going to be hungry. They're coming off of that win. Saquon's been really, really good. Bucs can usually stop the run with Vita Vea up front. I do think the Bucs bounce back and get the win here. The Philly is favored on the road, so that's a little bit interesting there. But I will go with the home dogs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 1 p.m., the 0-3 Bengals against the Panthers. Look, I wanted to say this was my lock, But you got to give Andy Dalton credit. And you know he's going to want he's going to have extra juice to win this game after he started his career with the Cincinnati Bengals. I just don't see the Bengals going 0-4. And I also think that this is an over. This is absolutely an over. 46.5. Bengals just scored 33. They're going to score at least 25, I think, in this game. Panthers can put up some points now that they've made the quarterback change. I'm going to take the over in that one, but I do also think Cincinnati wins. Not sure if they cover that 4.5-point spread. Jags, Texans. We do a coach's hot seat every week on AWOD Radio. New edition, Doug Peterson on the hot seat. I think it gets even hotter because I do not think they have a chance to win against the Houston Texans at home with how good C.J. Stroud is. I got Texans winning at home in that one and covering the 6-point spread. We'll go back to Commanders Cardinals later. 4:05 on Fox. Patriots, Niners. Niners minus 10, one of the biggest spreads on the board. I'm going to stay away from this game. Max, do you want to place a bet on this one?
No, see, it's you really think about it. You really dive into it. It's a 10-point spread is a lot of points.
Yeah.
Patriots get paid to play football, too.
Yeah, but the 49ers at home, right, they can kind of put you away in the fourth quarter and make it a two-possession game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of running the ball down your throat. I think this is going to be a quicker game. I think this will probably be over by 7 o'clock if it starts at 4:30.
4:25 on CBS, the Browns at the Raiders. I do think the Raiders get the win in this one. Cleveland's just not been good this year. Chiefs, Chargers, that is your second best game of the weekend in my mind. Chiefs undefeated going to SoFi Stadium to face off against Harbaugh and the Chargers. I do think this is an over in this game. 39.5 is kind of low in my mind for the Chiefs offense that really has not clicked on all cylinders yet. Could this be the game you get a good performance from Travis Kelce? Could this be the game that Patrick Mahomes doesn't have a turnover? He's got 4 interceptions already in just 3 games this season. I kind of think the Chiefs win this game easily here, but I'm going to take the over 39.5 is my official pick here on AWOD's picks. We get to my certified NFL game of the week, guaranteeing that football audiences around the country will be locked into this game. It'll be worth your time. If you're busy on Sunday, you got 100 things to do, make sure you're in front of a TV, 8:20 on NBC from M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, Maryland. The game of the week is the Ravens hosting the undefeated Buffalo Bills. The Ravens are desperate, right? Hard to see them getting into the postseason if they're 1-3 and the Steelers move to 4-0. I don't think they come back to win that division. We all had them, I think, as division champs or the Bengals before the season. It's the Steelers right now that have showed up. This is also a Ravens team, though, that although they're 1-2, all right, although they're 1-2, that you could argue could be 3-0, just like Arizona, right? They had the game tied against the Chiefs, but Isaiah Likely's toe was out of bounds. They had the game won against the Raiders, and then the fourth quarter happened, and then Gardner Minshew mania came back and won the game, and then they looked amazing in the game against the Cowboys for 3 quarters and let the Cowboys come back, but they still get the win 28-25. I do think that Baltimore gets the win in this one. As good as Josh Allen and the Bills have been offensively, the Ravens are always good defensively, especially at home. They love to blitz. I think they will be able to bottle up Josh Allen a little bit. We'll see how they're able to stop or slow down James Cook. But I am picking the Ravens to win in my certified game of the week. Do you think this is a game of the week material, Max?
Absolutely. Bills-Ravens, yes, of course it is.
Love that. Monday Night Football, you got 2 matchups. I think it's going to be similar to Washington where about 20 minutes into the game, you're going to decide that the Titans suck and the Dolphins don't have a quarterback. What's going on ABC? Seahawks, Lions. Seahawks have proven everybody wrong this season, unless you're a drab t-shirt, right? A diehard Seahawks fan. Look, I think you could have seen the writing on the wall. Seahawks were a good team last year, all right? And it didn't end well. And Pete Carroll had a great run in Seattle, but I think you could argue that maybe he wasn't relating to some of these younger players as much anymore as he was a player's coach. In comes a younger coach that can relate to them, and McDonald from Baltimore. They're as good defensively. Geno's been cleaning up offensively, and they got DK Metcalf going. They're 3-0. I think they go to 4-0. That's my big pick for Monday Night Football. 8:15, I'm going Seahawks to defeat the Detroit Lions in Detroit. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. 1 hour left of AWOD Radio. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back on The Fan.